Hi gang, Bob Bolving here with The Mystery Project, where our series is Peggy Delaney, written by James W. Nichol. Reality and denial are close companions when Peggy tries to address her drinking problem. She also finds a parallel in her search for a story, but there, the results are tragic. Condition Zero, Episode 7 of Peggy Delaney, starring Kyra Harper in the title role.
I really enjoy your columns.
Oh, well, thanks, Doctor.
Actually, I'm not a doctor.
No, I knew that. I'm just,
I keep threatening to finish up my PhD, but then I keep having kids. So, I'm just David.
Okay, David. Can you smoke in here?
Surprisingly enough, yes, you can. That's why I have this ashtray, big as a manhole cover. Most of my clients smoke like fiends.
Well, it goes together, I guess.
Seems to. Nicotine is a stimulant. Alcohol is a sedative, like uppers and downers.
Great.
What's great is you're here. Obviously, you're motivated to do something about your drinking.
Yes.
Good. So, first off, a bit of history. Can you remember approximately how old you were when you had your first taste of alcohol?
I was 13.
And when was the first time you became inebriated on alcohol?
13. And then I went from there.
And how old are you now?
Oh, I was afraid you were going to ask me that. Crowding 40.
So that's what, 27 years?
26.
And sitting in this corner, Ms. Peggy Delaney of the Toronto Tribune.
Hi there, Charlie.
You weren't in this morning?
No, I wasn't. I had, something else to do.
Wondered.
Did you? By the way, thanks for everything.
Oh, that's all right. What?
Spiking my orange juice every morning. My coffee at noon. Doubling up on drinks so I didn't have to ask for a double in front of anyone. You've been a pal.
Okie dokie. Feel kind of bad. Think a lot of Peggy Delaney. Wouldn't want to see her kill herself, that's all. Well, you bet. So, what can I get you today?
I think a lot of you, too, Charlie.
That makes two of us.
Yeah, I'll have a coffee.
One special, Peggy Delaney?
No, just a coffee. Straight coffee. I quit. You know, demon booze, over, kaput.
Peggy Delaney?
Yep.
Oh, you bet. One genuine coffee coming up.
Well, this is easy. Lead pipe cinch. Why didn't I think of it before? Just take it one day at a time. 1 hour at a time. 1 minute at a time.
Coffee, Charlie. Well, fancy meeting you here.
Hey, Nick.
So, what are you up to, anyway?
Looking for a column. I'm desperate.
You're always desperate.
3 a week, week after week after week.
That's the gig.
Yeah, but doing it sober?
Sober? What? Did you quit?
Yeah. The stupid thing is, I don't even know whether I could still write.
Are you in a program?
Mm-hmm. I've got the shakes.
Maybe you should go somewhere. Take a rest.
I'm not signing myself into some place. Amber's here. For Christ's sake, Nick. My daughter's here.
Yeah.
I just need a column. I just need to work. That's all. I'll be fine.
Right.
It comes and goes. There. It's gone. Fine. Don't look at me like that.
I'm not looking at you like that.
So anyway, hey, see what you think of this idea. Remember that kid we had on contract last year, Eddie Simon?
Eddie Simon.
He wrote a short bit for the city page about this woman who's been missing for 6 years. I've been carrying it around for weeks. Here. A kind of on the anniversary of her disappearance piece. Remember? Amory Thompson.
Mm. Yeah.
She just disappeared one night. 28 years old, lived in a basement apartment at her parents' place. She'd come home earlier that night, nothing disturbed in the apartment. No clothes missing, car keys on the table, her car still in the driveway. But she was gone. Her parents are still looking for her. It's kind of heartbreaking.
I bet. Not your kind of story, though, is it? Hearts and flowers? A weeping?
No. I keep looking at her face and then multiplying it by a few thousand. All these tragic faces staring out at us from our newspapers. We're told the details, but the sense of who they really were. The size of the loss. The hole each one leaves in the world. It's the law of diminishing returns.
So?
So? Maybe we should get to know this one girl. I'm going to talk to her parents.
Sounds like fun.
Well, it's an idea, anyway. Hi.
Oh, hi.
So, how'd violin practice go?
Okay, I guess. What are you doing?
Playing solitaire.
Oh.
Just something to do, I guess. Killing time. Well, I'm stuck. Actually, I hate this game. I hate its guts. I've just forgotten how much.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to eat in or out?
I don't care. In. I'll make it. So, did you see that guy today?
That guy? Yeah. He was great.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah. Good.
So, what's he like?
He's like a guy from Barbados.
Oh?
David Cochran by name. I thought we were going to do all this psycho stuff. I was looking around for the couch, but he doesn't do that. I was kind of disappointed. I had all sorts of stories I wanted to tell him. But he says, well, that my drinking is a primary illness or something, you know? It's not just a symptom of something else. So it just comes down to total abstinence. Strategies to avoid... stuff like that. I have to go there every day, well, for now. I told him you were the one who called me an alcoholic. So I really had to make sure I did something about it.
I'm really, really glad, Mom. I really am.
I know, sweetheart. Me too.
We welcome any publicity.
You just never know.
Well, we have over 2 million readers, and our paper's available on the Internet now. So, it's all over the world.
Well, that's just wonderful. She's living somewhere in the States. We think a southern state, Louisiana, perhaps. Isn't that right, Jeff?
We've been concentrating on Louisiana over the last year.
Her picture is in just about every police station. Well, maybe I'm exaggerating. But we're down south 2 or 3 times a year, driving all over, searching for her. And we drop into every police station on our route with extra posters. Right, Jack?
The police have been very good to us. They keep us going.
This is a poster that we're using, if you'd like to see.
Yes, yeah.
That's the last picture taken. She just had her hair cut. Well, she'd worn it long for years, but she just decided she wanted to change. It brought out her eyes. She's lovely, deep, chestnut-colored eyes.
Dark chocolate.
Jack called them dark chocolate. But there's more shine to them than that. A beautiful chestnut color. You see? It says Chestnut on the poster.
Yes, she's lovely.
She got her hair cut for him.
For who?
Oh, for the man she fell in love with. The man she ran away with. She got it cut for him.
Oh.
I got a phone call one night. He didn't say who it was or where he was calling from. But he said he knew Anne-Marie, and he just wanted us to know she was with a friend of his. That he was a real nice type of guy. They were very much in love. And that Anne-Marie was very happy. And then he hung up. Oh, he had a southern accent you could cut with a knife.
I think it was him, her husband. Well, I'm sure they're married by now. See, he was just wanting to tell us that she was all right. I think that he's in hiding from some bad people. And Anne-Marie's afraid if they find out that she's with him, they might threaten Jack and me to try to force them out of hiding. You know, something like that.
I see, yeah.
See, that's what we believe. Isn't it, Jack?
That's what seems to make the most sense.
Uh-huh. I didn't realize you knew she was in the States.
Oh, yes. In fact, we're probably grandparents by now. We even have names for them, don't we, Jack? Eh? Sue Ann and little Bobby. Of course, we have no way of knowing, I mean, for sure.
No. I'm on your duty, so I should stay outside. I hope you don't mind. No.
Jerry, stop throttling Roman. Now!
Sorry. It's all right. I only have one question, really. Mr. and Mrs. Thompson said you were Anne-Marie's best friend.
Well, one of them, I guess. She had a lot of friends. Loved to keep busy. Loved people.
Was she a good teacher?
Jerry, I am watching you.
Yes. The best. The kids adored her. God, it's the saddest thing. I still can't believe it. I feel so sorry for her mom and dad. Yeah, me too. And they think Anne-Marie's still alive. Living in Louisiana in secret. Happily married with two children. I know. I used to go over there, but I had to stop. I found it too...
Jerry!
Depressing. There isn't any chance they are right, is there, that she did run off with someone? I don't think so. But her father got this call from somewhere in the States. I know. They told me about it. Oh. Well, I talked to a Detective Monroe. Anne-Marie's one of his cold cases. He's almost positive it was a crank call. Everybody thinks it was a crank call. Except her parents.
So, how's the missing woman column going?
Great. Head first down the toilet.
No kidding?
Yep. Turned out Mr. and Mrs. Thompson are living in this little fantasy world. They really believe their daughter's alive. It was just some kind of love affair. Anne-Marie's safe. Anne-Marie's happy. I can't write about that. What would I say? That it's a crock? I'd rather commit an axe murder.
Would you?
Almost. I've been sitting here wondering why I really wanted to go see them. Know why?
Not really. Not your kind of story.
No. Because I'm so afraid of screwing up with Amber and losing her. You know, just drinking and the hell with everything. That's really what I want to do.
No, it's not.
So, I think I went there because I wanted to know what that hole in the world felt like. I wanted to see Anne-Marie's apartment downstairs. Her clothes still hanging in the closet. Her books still on the shelves. The silence. I wanted to scare myself.
So, they showed you her place?
Yeah.
Did it scare you?
Yeah.
Peggy Delaney, Arnold Treichel here. You were talking to a friend of mine, Carolyn Corbett, the teacher. I know something about Anne-Marie, so maybe we could talk.
Can I get you a drink?
Oh, no, I'm fine.
Well, you just have to look after yourself around this place. Look, I'll go and get you a drink.
No. Thanks anyway, Arnold. I'll just, I'll have one of these instead.
Oh, okay. Well, Peggy Delane.
You got it.
So, anyway, when Carolyn mentioned you were thinking of doing a column on Anne Marie, I thought, well, Peggy Delaney.
And you called. And like Pavlov's dog, here I am.
Right. Yeah, right. You remember that article your paper did on her last year?
Uh-huh.
That just about killed me. Just to see her picture again, you know. I didn't think I could stand another one. Anne Marie staring out at me like that.
Like what?
For 2 years now, I've known what happened to her. And I am really tired of being the only one who knows.
Then why didn't you tell someone?
Because it was too late. It was 4 years too late. I mean, the parents have got this thing worked out.
This fantasy?
Yeah, so it was easier to do nothing. It was kinder. At least I thought so, anyway. But now, I don't know, I think I have to tell somebody.
So, you chose me?
Yeah. You're a professional. You're used to these things, right? So when I heard you were interested, I thought, well, I thought, here's my chance. I'll pass it on to you. You'll know what to do, and then at least I've done something.
You should get a medal.
Yeah. Anyway, you get to choose.
What?
Whether to tell her parents the truth or not.
Uh-huh.
Okay, this is the thing. I had this friend, and he and Anne-Marie were an item for a while. It was nothing really too serious, you know, just for a month or so. It didn't work out, you know, so what? Happens all the time. But anyway, a year or so later, she calls up Danny, that was his name, just out of the blue, says she wants to meet him. So they meet. And she tells him that she's just got checked out at one of those public health clinics just because she was a bit nervous. I mean, everybody was getting tested. Hell, I've been tested twice. So, anyway, she didn't expect anything, but she came up HIV positive.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, God. So, there she was. She's trying to contact every man she's ever been with just to warn them, you know, suggest they get tested too. But you see, years before, maybe when he was 18 or something like that, Danny had been in a car accident. A lot of internal bleeding, lots of transfusions.
Tainted blood.
Yeah, that's what Danny figured. It had to be that, because it takes quite a few years for things to develop. And when he got tested, he didn't come up HIV positive. He came up in the first stages of AIDS. See, he was a carrier. He'd probably given it to her.
Hadn't he been sick?
Well, the flu, that's what he thought. Just some flu he couldn't get rid of. I used to visit him. He was in this palliative care unit till near the end. He died over 2 years ago now. He was looking like a cadaver already. You know that? And that's when he told me the story. And I said to him, I said, "Jesus, Danny, why didn't you say something when he went missing, when she went missing? Why didn't you tell the police what you knew?" And you know what he said? He said, "The hell with him. The hell with everybody. Whatever she did what was best for her." That's what he said. What was I supposed to do with that?
So I just need to ask a question or two more. Then,
Oh, you go right ahead.
Okay. When was the last time you saw Anne-Marie?
It was in the middle of the night. The last night.
It was?
Oh, yes. Wasn't it, Jack?
You saw her, dear. I didn't.
We were both sleeping, and something made me wake up. And there was Anne-Marie standing just inside our door. Well, I said, "What's the matter, darling?" And she said, "Nothing, Mom. just couldn't sleep. I thought I heard a noise. Go back to sleep. Well, I listened. I didn't hear any strange noise either. And other than Jack, he was still sleeping.
Snoring away.
I thought her being in our room a little strange, but she wasn't alarmed or anything. And so I wasn't either. You see, I think he, the man she's in love with, was outside, and she was getting ready to leave. She came in to say goodbye, but she didn't know how to say it.
That was probably it, all right.
Lovely night.
Yes. It's been warm for October.
Well, I wish you the best on your column.
Jack?
Yes?
I've always thought the truth was the most important thing in the world. That's why I do what I do. Otherwise, how can we be, well, all we can be, if we don't take life on just as it is, toe to toe, right?
I'm not sure I know what you mean.
No. Jack, I might know something about Anne-Marie. Something really painful. But it is the truth.
Oh, God.
You have a right to know the truth. You have to know the truth.
This truth, is it from one of her friends?
Yes.
Is it about a sickness?
Yes.
A fatal sickness? Then I already know.
What?
The night of March 21st, 1992. My daughter walked to the Queensway Bridge over the Humber River. The river was in flood, sweeping out into Lake Ontario, churning full of broken trees and ice. My beloved daughter climbed over the railing and...
Jack? How do you know?
Because that morning, I found a note she tucked under her mother's pillow. I made some excuse, had to go to the corner store, got into my car, and drove to the bridge. No one was there. No one was there. What was I to say to my wife? I thought maybe she didn't go through with it. At the last minute, maybe Anne-Marie had changed her mind. So I waited all that day, but Anne-Marie never called. And the search began, all the questions, the police. I couldn't say. I couldn't hurt my wife like that, you see? She would not have been able to stand it. I made a bargain with myself. I'd leave it up to God. If her body was found, then that was how it was to be. And if not, then this is how it's to be. But I knew all along that somebody else must know, a doctor, a friend. It would come up somehow. But it worked out for a while, you see, because Rita still had hope.
At what price? What price? What made you think she wouldn't want to know the truth about her own daughter? You didn't save her from anything. You diminished her.
I did what was best.
Best? This is your best? How many trips to Louisiana, Jack? How crazy do you want to be? Have you ever thought that it was just easier for you to handle this alone? That you've been protecting yourself all these years from having to deal with your wife's heartbreak? Have you ever thought about that?
Yes.
Look, I think I know a little what it's like to try to keep pain away. Like living in a funhouse of mirrors. Right, Jack? What happened to Anne-Marie's note?
I destroyed it.
And that phone call from the South?
There was no phone call. I made it up.
So, where do we go from here?
I knew this time was inevitable. You were inevitable.
Was I?
I'll go back into the house. I'll tell her.
Uh-huh. It's time. Jack, I'll be writing about this.
I know.
You have been listening to Condition Zero, Episode 7 of Peggy Delaney by James W. Nichol. Kyra Harper played Peggy. Katharina Scarsone was Amber. John Stalker was Bernie. J.W. Carroll was Nick. William Colgate was Charlie. Philip Aiken was David Cochran. David Hughes was Jack Thompson. Don Greenhall was Rita Thompson. Brenda Bazinet was Caroline. And Jeffrey Bowes was Arnold. The music was composed and conducted by Milan Kimlicka. The recording engineer was Drago Grandic. Sound effects were by Matt Wilcott. The associate producer was Leanne McDonald. Our coordinating producer is Barry Morgan. The program was produced and directed by Bill Howell, the executive producer of The Mystery Project. Cassettes of this Peggy Delaney series are now available at all bookstores in your neighborhood, as well as your local library. I'm Bob Boving, thanking you for listening and inviting your comments. See you next week.